I'm very glad to be here with you today. My name is Jackie Anderson, and it's lovely to see you here. Indeed, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord. I pray that something here in some way today lands meaningfully for you with the help of the Lord's grace. So this series on wisdom, it's been a little tricky for me to pin down about wisdom. What is wisdom? What's it for? Where do we find it? Is it about living a good life? Is it about smart decision making so things go well for us? Is it about knowing the meaning of life and being zen about everything? So we're just even, a little detached, don't have to worry. If we start at the beginning of Scripture, we see that God's plan for us was to rule wisely with Him as partners, having one will and one mind in decision making over His creation. This was the purpose of mankind, to live in the joy, the peace, the love that the Trinity enjoys together. There was only one rule, to let God be God, to trust Him, to let Him unfold for us the life He desired for us. One rule. But of course, we don't like rules, even one. And that disobedience opened the floodgates of all kinds of trouble. Fear, desire for power, for greed in perceived times of scarcity, for devaluing others, our fellow humans, in order to secure safety for us and those we love. And ever since then, God has been pursuing us to bring us back home into shalom relationship with Him. And we have been seeking wisdom for how to live better, how to do better, how to be better, how to know God better. We've been reaching out to each other over millennia. And Jesus became the bridge that allowed us to find each other fully. This is the arc of the biblical story. This is the arc of God's justice, of His mercy and righteousness. So, that's fine. Good, got it. Not so fast. Because, of course, we have a hard time getting out of our own selves, don't we? We are notoriously selfish and self-centered. So we make bad decisions. We shout that the sky is falling when things aren't going well for us. We panic. And at other times, we turn inward with despair and confusion when things don't make sense. In all of these times, we long for wisdom, to do better, to be better, have peace and security, to know God better. Last week, Julia referred to Job 28. It's a beautiful chapter. Well, the whole book of Job is quite spectacular. But in Job 28, Job asks, where can we find wisdom? He says, mankind can go down into the depths of the earth and create daylight there to find gold and gems. Mankind's pretty great. We're pretty smart. And now we would say, mankind can send things out into space beyond what we can see with our eye and find even more amazing things out there. Now we know how to create whole little worlds in this little tiny microchip that can unlock our imaginations and we carry it around in our pocket. Mankind is pretty smart. Mankind is not always wise. We're still looking for wisdom. God in His mercy provides us with His scriptures. This is His revelation to us. This is His testimony to us. We do not understand the mind of God, but we have the heart of Jesus to know. He is the perfect revelation of the Father. There is much about wisdom in the Bible. In fact, there's three whole books, maybe four, depending on how you look at it. And the books look something like this. And I'm going to lift unabashedly, but give them credit, to the Bible Project for how they think about wisdom, the wisdom books. And if you're interested in really doing a deep dive on wisdom, their podcasts are fantastic. So here we go. The three wisdom books, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. And they look a little like this. Three people in life sitting in a coffee shop. Three people sitting together in a coffee shop talking about life. How to get it right. The tricky twists and hang-ups we find ourselves in. And the first person to speak up with an opinion is Proverbs. Proverbs is smart, kind of young, but they really do have life together. They're the person you would go to for advice. They're not arrogant or annoying. Like, they're actually good. They've got it together. They're educated. They're successful in work. They have good relationships. Proverbs reminds us that creation has a good order. There is a grain, if you like, think of the grain of a wood. There's a grain in creation that is ordered, and we can go with the grain, or you can choose to go against the grain. You have that choice. But going with the grain is generally better for you. God's justice is the arc of history, and going with this grain probably improves your chances. You will have wisdom in what to do, when to do it, and how your relationships can grow healthily. There are some basic things to know that will be helpful when faced with dilemmas. God is good all the time. Trust him. So the second person in this coffee shop to speak up is the teacher from Ecclesiastes. He's been around a while. He's experienced success and failure. He has seen it happen countless times. The good get bad things, and the bad get good things. It's confusing. So, adjust your expectations. Well, then what's the point of all the rules? He says, it's confusing. So here's what I tell you. Enjoy your life. This is the life God has given you. Today, enjoy your life. Like the philosopher Pascal, who warned us that we spend almost all of our time ruminating over what was in the past, wishing it would come back, or regretting how it unfolded, or hoping for something in the future. We're dreaming about it, scheming for it, maybe even micromanaging a little bit to try to make it turn out the way we want. And in the course of that, the present drifts away. It's lost to us. Our days go by unremarked, unenjoyed. So he says, live your life. Enjoy your life in whatever way you can today. This is the work that he's given you. This is the family he's given you. This is the community you are in. Do what he's given you to do and enjoy your life. Do not spend your present worrying about what you cannot control, and don't make yourself paralyzed trying to do the absolute right thing. Julia referred last week to the perils of social media that gives you like a zillion answers for whatever, so you don't even know which way to turn. The teacher says, don't worry about that. Love God and do the good, kind, just thing. Just do that. It might not work out the way you hope it will anyway. So don't make yourself crazy. Things don't go always according to fair. And the third person in the coffee shop is Job, who now pipes up and says, that was me. I did all the right things. I was the wise person in my neighborhood. People came to me. And my world imploded. And God schooled me big time. And my mind was blown open by his wonder, his majesty, and his wisdom. I spoke of and complained about things I did not understand. And now I'm humble. And I trust him. It is beautiful to me that the Bible has all three of these books there as encouragement for us. Though they may appear at times to contradict each other, in fact, they hold together beautifully, all eventually coming to the same refrain, love God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we claim to know too much, when we overreach, we get in trouble. Humble yourself and trust him. Jesus says much the same thing in the Gospels at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about worry. Don't worry. Do not lose sleep over things that have limited permanence. Trust me. And he modeled that, right? Right up until his death. His disciples had a hard time understanding his security and his confidence. Think of him sleeping in that boat in the middle of a storm. What is going on? They got plenty anxious, and they didn't always understand his peace and security. Upon reflection, I think that these wisdom books speaks to us at different, each of them speak to us at different times in our lives. In Hebrews 5, we are told to desire maturity in our faith. Grow up. Stop craving the easy fix. Life is hard, and people are complex. There is not always an easy answer. And I would say to you, whatever age you're at, whatever stage in your faith you're at, whether it's a physical age or a Christian age, keep pressing God. Keep pressing him. What is this about? Help me understand that. This is weird. This is hard. Think of, when you build a house and it's all shiny and new and everything, the paint looks great. And a couple years later, you notice little cracks above the door frames. And you think, our house is falling apart. Your house is not falling apart. Your house is settling into its foundations and it's becoming more secure. This is a good thing. I also think of our growing faith like a toddler, like if you're thinking of a child learning to cook. So as a toddler, I tell you, don't go near the stove. Just don't. Don't touch the buttons. Don't go near the stove. Once they're maybe 8, they learn how to heat up a can of soup, make some toast. Maybe when they're 10, they learn how to make craft dinner and fry some eggs, right? Once they're a teenager, I'm hoping they're helping to make family dinners, right? They know how to use an oven now. They kind of know how to maybe even use a frying pan and an oven. And then once they get to a 20-something, they're like, hey, how do you cook on a barbecue, right? You would never give a toddler a barbecue, not in a million years. But you would not want your 20-year-old to always just be relying on cans of soup to eat. You want them to grow in their faith and in their maturity. And God is saying to us, grow up. There's so much out there, beautiful, hard things to learn. And I will be with you. As a parent, I love Proverbs. There are things that you, my child, need to know. Basic decency, manners, good citizenship, building good relationships. These will actually usually lead to things going better for you than if you decided you wanted to be a scoundrel or even just an ordinary jerk, with all the damaging fallout that happens and follows you when you do that. And of course, there is plenty in there for me as a parent about how to love my children and my neighbors and my spouse and my parents. However, as we get older, Ecclesiastes and Job remind us that things aren't always so simple. Telling the truth at work could get me fired. As Corrie Ten Boom would tell us during the Holocaust, telling a lie saves lives. Family relationships can be complicated. Terrible things happen even to people who are so good. And as God reminds Job, I created the behemoth and the leviathan. We don't really know what they are, except they are crazy, scary monsters. And he says, they are awesome. They are an amazing piece of my creation. They might kill you, but I'm proud of them. Life is not safe. who told you it was. So Job reminds us of who is really in charge, and God is profoundly aware of the complexities of life. He even asked Job, perhaps you would like to shake the rug of the earth out at the end of the day and shake all the evildoers off there. Maybe you'd like that job. How would that go for you? How would that go for you? I know things you will never know. Will you trust me? And Job can only answer, I spoke of things I did not understand. And this stance of humility was the beginning of his wisdom journey. Elijah, when he asked to see the glory of God, what did he get first? A tornado touched down and broke the rocks on the mountain. And then there was an earthquake. And then there was a fire. And then there was silence. And that's where God was. God is not necessarily safe. He's good, but he's not necessarily safe, to paraphrase C.S. Lewis there. Psalm 19 is a beautiful psalm because it kind of ties all these things together. At the beginning of the psalm, it praises God for his creation of the heavens. It is splendid. It speaks of his majesty, his providence, and his power. In the day and the night, God is revealed as marvelous and mighty. Let's remember who we're calling on here. And one of my favorite authors, Annie Dillard, in her book, For the Time Being, tells the story of a rabbi, who when it was his turn to go into the Holy of Holies, he wept and cried and kissed his family goodbye and told them how much he loved them. And his wife said, what is all the fuss? And he said, oh, don't you understand? When I enter the Holy of Holies, between calling on the name of the Lord and reminding him of his goodness and mercy, he might kill me. Let's remember who we're talking about here. The law of the Lord is perfect. The same law which was given so long ago to Moses and which has found its fulfillment in Jesus is perfect. It is the best way. Follow it. Follow Jesus. Acknowledge him as Lord. Recognize that our obedience is key to our relationship with him. This is how your soul will be restored. Love God and do the good, generous, kind thing. The precepts by which he laid the foundation of the world, the grain of the wood, the ark of justice in creation is right. These have the ring of truth, and we long for all creation to be redeemed and restored to his good purposes. His justice and goodness that Proverbs shines a light on remains. His purposes will find completion. It is how things were meant to be. His pursuit of us, Jesus himself, makes it clear that his love and mercy are the drivers in the story. His commandment for us is pure. It gives us light. It helps us see what's really important. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus adds this new commandment, which covers all of them. Love one another as I have loved you. By this all people will know that you are mine because you love one another. These commandments are not too hard for us to understand. They are not complicated. We don't have to get degrees and all kinds of things to figure them out. We don't have to go pursuing libraries and searching the internet. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love each other. This is my commandment. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Aha. How has God revealed himself? What is his testimony? Scriptures, yes, and Jesus, his full expression, but also in your own life. How has God written a story, a testimony with you? Last week, Julia encouraged us to share these stories, for they become a library of wisdom for us. They're an encouragement for us. One of the songs we sing quite often, Rising Sun, says, We lift high your glory, shown throughout our stories. Love that line. When we hold fast to the testimony God has given us to all of us, the church, mankind, creation, but also to us personally, we are no longer simple-minded, no longer lurching from this comfort to that comfort, new fads, or the latest author who can help us figure everything out and take away our confusion and pain. No, we become wise so that when trouble comes, we can hold fast to him and be sure of him and have peace beyond understanding. We become confident in his compassion and his mercy and can rest from trying to be perfect or trying to solve every problem. And finally, the wisdom of Job. The fear of the Lord is clean. This awe, this wonder at his power and his love, his providence and his wisdom gives us clarity. It leaves us as little children who can rest in his care for us. We finally understand what is really going on here. That despite all the magnificence of his creation, despite us being infinitesimal little dots on a dot in the vastness of the universe, he sees us. He sees you. He hears you. He knows each of us, and he wants us to be near to him. Once we have spent all of our prayers, all our longing, and all our tears, we are left with his gentle presence, his quiet voice assuring us of his love for us. He is here with us. What a wondrous thing that is. When we understand this, it frees us from the other kind of fear, the fear that traps us and tempts us with ill-conceived comforts and sins that mess us up. Will we trust him? This humility of spirit acknowledges that he is far more, far beyond, far deeper, wider, powerful, and gracious than we can understand. And this wisdom allows us to face all things. It is more precious than gold. It is sweeter than honey. It is our teacher, and it is our great reward. Seek it with all your heart. Amen.